3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome back to Podcast Noor. I am your guide, Podcast Noor, or just Noor. And I had this topic I wanted to talk to you all about today. Of course, anytime I do these solo episodes, there's always a backstory to why I'm talking about it or the topic. And yesterday, in a very bubble-filled bubble bath, I had this amazing download in my brain on what I'm about to kind of embark on for the next couple of weeks. So after this week, I am going to be kind of locking myself in our cabin and working on a book proposal for a book that I've been really thinking about intentionally for years and have really figured out what it is. And I don't know why I knew that for the next 2 weeks, like, this is what I had to do. And then while I was taking a bath, I had the download and I realized that for far too long, I have said yes to too many things and spread myself too thin. And that doesn't mean I can't do all of those things. It's just that I had attempted to do all of those things at the same time without building a foundation for each of the things that I was building. And I think a lot of us struggle with this, where we take on a lot of different projects and try to cross the things off the to-do list that allow the project to progress without actually building the foundation and taking the time to build the foundation. And right now, with the book that I'm working on, the foundation is the proposal. It's putting together these, 50 pages of what the book is, what it looks like, what the tone is, so that when I am working on another big project, which I can't wait to share with you all soon, it's something that the gears have already been turning. And so I can take those moments of time to hone in and intentionally work on this project, whenever it may be. Here's the thing about how I work that I'll share with you before we go into this. I can't sit in front of a computer and expect for a download to come. And for those of you who have been hearing me use this term a lot, when I refer to a download, it's like a spiritual experience almost of inspiration, where I figured out an answer to a question that I may have been asking or may not have been asking, but still needed. And I instead have accepted that, my days off sometimes, when I have to just sit on the couch and do nothing, are days that I'm actually marinating, where the inspiration is brewing. And if you intentionally connect with yourself every single day, you will know that you are always working. And part of that requires you to redefine what working is. So if you work, for you, working is, making sure that you're getting certain projects done, certain emails sent, certain whatever. I mean, all of those things are things that you have to get done. And work is not limited to just that. Work is something that you can choose. It's a mind state. And it's a mind state if you want it to be. Now, this isn't encouraging somebody to like throw themselves into work that they're not feeling benefit from or fulfilled from. But I feel very lucky to be in a position where the last 10 years I've been building up to a place to be where I get to choose what I do. And it's not easy. It's terrifying oftentimes. And yet I trust in God and I trust myself to show up for myself, and I trust my teammate, Adam, to show up, and things always happen and things always fall into place because I'm open to it. I had a really important conversation with one of my sisters yesterday who is struggling at work, and just she was struggling with sleeping because she was waking up thinking about the work she needed to get done. And I have been there. I have felt that so deeply. I mean, when I was touring by myself and traveling by myself, I was waking up in the middle of the night and having nightmares of missing my flight the day of my talk, like so much so that I stopped booking my flights the day of my talk because I was too afraid that I was going to miss my flight, even though I didn't have history of doing that. It was just this anxiety. And I would spend more time away from home when I really wanted to be with my family. And so hearing my sister talk about this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember this. I know this feeling. It feels so familiar. And yet this toxicity that you are experiencing right now, where people are being mean and have these unrealistic expectations and don't expect you to, they don't expect you to like be human, is just not, it's not good for you. And she said something to me that I was like, I thought you didn't think like this. But then I realized it's so easy for so many of us to think this way. And she said, like, I just can't have any gap. I just cannot have any gaps in my resume because I need to make sure that it looks strong. That if I were going to leave a position, I would have to have something lined up. And as somebody who is currently trying to hire, yes, we are trying to hire an assistant and a podcast producer slash video editor, somebody who can do both. So if you want to send those applications in, we are looking at them right now. Anyway, as someone who is hiring, I was thinking to myself, actually, if you had a gap in your resume and I asked, what did you do with that time? And you said, I took time to take care of myself because I was so burnt out. I took time to go on adventures. I took time to travel. I took time, and you did things that you cared about. I would prefer you than the person who is directly leaving a job, because guess what? I want someone who is aware that they need to take care of themselves too. I want someone who's going to show up as themselves, not a shell of themselves because they've left so many pieces of themselves behind at the different jobs that they've left. And I know that this, you know, is not an option for everyone. And when I say you have a gap in your resume, that could be a couple of weeks. That could be a couple of years. Whatever it is that you're in the position of. I'm simply saying that, especially with the experience that we just had with COVID, that I actually don't think that people who want good leaders are going to be questioning whether or not why you have a gap in your resume. If anything, everyone has a gap in their resume during COVID. Most people do. I do. And we cannot continue to go through this time in this pandemic not seeing ourselves, not showing up for ourselves. And a lot of that is going to have to change in the way that we work. So what you're about to hear is about 10 minutes of Adam and I in the bathtub. We do a lot of our brainstorming and meetings in the bath. And it's where, and you know what? It's probably because my phone isn't near me and I'm simply doing nothing. And those are the times I get the best downloads, when I do nothing and I just sit still. And that was actually the piece of advice I gave my sister. I said, before you apply to 100 more jobs, sit still with yourself. Let yourself receive answers. Let yourself receive guidance. Let yourself receive you. And I realized that my commitment to doing this book proposal in two weeks, I have no idea what's going to show up. You'll hear me say to Adam, like, I might not even write the first week. And I don't know. I'm terrified. But I am committed. I have a date with myself. And I have to show up for her the same way that you would show up to any other appointment or doctor's meeting or doctor and doctor's appointment slash meeting, a date, whatever it is. You have to show up for yourself. You have to make the same kind of commitment. And guess what? You might not have plans for that date yet. I'm just going to be sitting in a cabin with no service in the woods, potentially bear watching and bird watching. I might be dancing to myself, taking baths, reading books, doodling, painting. But I know that I trust myself enough to show up. That I know at the end of those 2 weeks, Maybe I have a book proposal. Maybe I have something different. Maybe I have a whole book. Who knows? But I won't know unless I try. You see, I'm still struggling with the but and the and thing. It shows you the mind state I'm in. I know that I when I'm saying but more than I'm saying and I'm negating the things that I've said previously, it's because I'm like still hesitating. And I'm sharing this with you knowing it's true and yet still nervous, still hesitating. So I thought about if I should, you know, listen to this recording that of our time last night and re-record a version of it. And I just thought, I love giving you all just really what happens. And Adam and I are filled with voice memos to the brim. Like we did another voice memo this morning of a huge download I had, a huge idea I had. And I love sharing this with you. And so if this resonates with you, then I'm so happy. And I would love to know if you are enjoying some of these more intimate conversations. And if you have any other feedback, I would love to know. So I should tell you that also the next couple of weeks of podcasts are going to sound a little bit different. We're going to be sharing conversations of exclusive events that AYS hosted, where we had different interviews with different people. It was the Ramadan iftars that we had, and those conversations were just so special with the most incredible guests, and we decided we wanted to share them with you. So that's what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, and then hopefully you'll hear my voice again because I have some other things I want to share with y'all too. Now, before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much for all of your kind words on the last episode, the one I did, which was just another download, a poem that I wrote for those who choose not to show up with the hijab today. And hijab might be a specific thing for Muslim people, and it was simply about a love letter for those who show up a little different today and still choose themselves. All right, so one more thing, and then I pinky promise we'll get to the voice recording. I have really been loving the podcast reviews that you've been leaving. They really make my day. I love hearing the voice of our community. So I'm going to read you a couple of these amazing notes. This is from Rachel Mina. I first found Noor when she hosted a Barney's podcast a couple years ago. She interviewed Elaine Welteroth. Shout out to Elaine. I was just talking to her this morning. I fell in love with the way Noor poses questions and truly holds space for her guests. From then on, I found every single piece of work Noor did and I devoured it. From Sold in America to her series on Instagram during COVID to The Process to now Podcast Noor. Every single episode, I learned something, felt something, and leave with a new view or perspective. Highly recommend. Thank you so much for sharing your gift with us and for encouraging us to share theirs, others to share theirs. Thank you so much, Rachel. This is Samar. Noor shares her best storytelling in all the interviews she does. She's always mindful of the topic and guests she brings on. Her soothing voice and sincere conversations keep me coming back to this podcast. I usually have a long commute, so this is perfect for the drive. I prefer podcasts that are at least an hour, so I don't have to fidget with my phone while driving. Do yourself a favor and add this to your list. You'll never be disappointed in the conversation. Ah! I love y'all. I appreciate you more than words could ever describe. I wanted to read a couple of those to let you know that I read all of them. I feel them. It really helps with the podcast. So if you feel compelled to, please rate and review this podcast or share it with friends. Do whatever feels right to you. And without any further downloads, ados, or distractions, here's our episode today of Podcast Noor.
Fucking spending all this time trying to put together the pieces of a puzzle. When this whole time, what I needed to be doing was focusing on one thing at a time. At least build your foundation that way. At least get your book proposal in, and then while you're writing the book, work on another series and take those breaks in between where you just write. But get the thing done. Like, get it on your to-do list for real. Get it on your to-do list with some dollar signs next to it, because you deserve that. Like, you deserve to take your shit so seriously. And you can't expect your team to take the shit so seriously if you're not taking the shit so seriously. And I definitely, like, yes, I've been screwed over by my team multiple times, and I have been in my own way so deeply where I rely on my team to pick me up, but they're like, what are we picking up? We don't know yet. Like, we could pick you up, but are you bringing back any of the gold? Like, have you figured it out down there? Because we're up here waiting for you. And you are the only thing left in between you and the finish line. The rest is the air that you breathe. And you have to decide if you want to go there. And the thing is, the finish line doesn't look like the end. The finish line is a big hug that whispers into your ear and says, keep going. What's next? But you sit in that hug. You're mindful in that hug. The hug matters. You feel it. You embody it. And then you collect the experience, commune with it, and you move on. And that's how you build. Because you can't be running multiple races. You are not able to clone yourself. You can only give parts of your mind at the same time, and look at what that has done. You get things done, but it takes you just as much longer because you have to figure out that you need these moments of dedication, that you need these moments of just honesty with yourself, where you think of nothing else but why you sat at the pages in the first place. Why did you decide you were going to write this book to begin with? My first thought about writing the book was because I need it. Like, I needed that. I was 14 reading a book every week at least. And if I would have picked up this book, it would have changed my life. I didn't even finish Jack Canfield's book, How to Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. I quoted that in every talk I ever did. Never even finished that book. Don't remember anything except for the yellow alerts, which was really about intuition, and what people say about you is none of your business. Those are the biggest takeaways that changed my life. Just two takeaways that changed my life. I quoted what people say about you is none of your business yesterday to someone struggling with addiction. Like, and I heard that about 10 years ago. So if you know that you are able to change people's lives with a couple of lessons that you've collected, then write the book. If anything, write the book so you can believe what you've said. Like, write the book so you believe the lesson. Sometimes I go back to my old writing so I can be inspired by myself. Like, imagine being inspired by yourself. We were just watching childhood videos of you. You were dancing your heart out. Playing Power Rangers.
Played every instrument.
Danced to Michael Jackson like everybody was watching. And you crushed it. And we literally looked at you on the TV screen and we were like, I'm so inspired by this kid. Like, I think he's the cutest kid in the world and I love him so much. And then I said, where's little Adam right now? And you were like, everybody thinks he's gone, but how do you think I got here? Like, I didn't think he was gone. You said he went for a hike. But, like, I know he was here, I was just asking. He's at the door. He didn't die. So I have to spend these 2 weeks to, at the very minimum, give myself a chance. At the very minimum, see if this is how you work. Because maybe I don't work this way. maybe I need the pressure in a different way. But hey, what a relief it would be to find out what doesn't work for me. Like, that is just as important, if not more important, than finding out what does work for you.
Yeah.
That way, the second what doesn't work for you happens, you do something about it.
Do you give yourself space for bad writing?
There's no such thing as bad writing.
Or writing that's not usable?
Of course you do. You have to get it out. It's like the
film. Do you get it out?
That's what my morning pages are.
Hmm.
And then sometimes I'm lucky and I get a pot of gold.
No, I mean when you sit down for like a writing session. Or do you just prefer to not write? Are you like, this is either going to be okay, so I'm going to write it, or...
No, dude, that's the whole thing where you're like, oh, writer's block. There's no such thing as writer's block.
Right.
It's just your insecurity between you and what you put on the page. But, like, that only exists if you think that there's such thing as bad writing, which, yeah, there's, like, boring writing. There's, like, stuff you don't need for the book. But that is the only way you find the gold is when you just look for it. Like, just because you're creating what the pen writes on the paper does not mean that you don't look for it in your writing. Like, that means that you believe that all of your writing comes from you. But when you're tapped into your source, your writing is coming from something bigger than you. You have to witness it with your eyes and process it with your brain to be able to find the gold in those words. When I write, I don't even know what I'm writing sometimes. When I wrote that poem...
I don't think that goes for everyone. I've never had that experience writing.
You'd be surprised if you tried.
What do you mean? I do. I've never written before.
Then maybe
not intentionally. Yeah, I guess not.
Maybe you were not chosen.
I think that people actually think about what they're writing. Some people.
Dude, yes, some people, but also, like, it is possible for everyone
to tap into
that. Because the thing is, it's not me. Like, it's not about me.
Well, it matters. I mean, yeah.
You have to be... That's why Julia Cameron in The Artist's Way always talks about being connected to source. Like, if you believe in automatic writing, where your hand is writing faster than your brain, which is what happens to me in the middle of the night all the time, where's that coming from?
Right, I got you.
It is not your conscious brain, for sure. It's not easy to stay connected to source. That's why I, like, remain so open to it, because I'm like, if you told me to sit, that's why this 2 weeks is going to be so hard. I might not write for the first week.
I know, that's why I was asking.
I might not even write, and I have to be okay with that.
Right.
Because that is also part of how I write.
Right.
I literally wait till the last hour.
It's just about blocking time to just dedicate the space.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. Dude, I might go for a hike every day. What if I did that? I think I have to be here.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's not even trapping myself. I think I just have to be on the land. Wow, it's a big breakthrough. Thank you, Ivy.